We're going to spend a little bit of time looking into God's Word this morning. Jean is here. She is. Good. And is going to come and read to us a passage. If you are a regular here, you know that we've been going through Genesis. If you read through the next couple of chapters of Genesis, you may know why we've taken a brief pause today. And we're going to think about a few verses from Romans chapter 6 that Jean is going to read to us.
It's verses 1 to 14, and it's on page 942 in the Church Bibles. Excuse me. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we had been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God for instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. That's God's word to us.
Thank you, Jean. We are going to think for just a few moments about Romans chapter 6 and verse 1 to 14. I have in the back of my mind that at some point in the future it would be nice or good or useful to preach through the book of Romans, both to me and to the church. However, the book of Romans is a solid work, if you can say it like that, and there is a lot in it, and I think we may wait till the time seems right. But there is such great hope contained within the book of Romans, and many challenges too. When we remember who wrote these words, when we recognize Paul, we recognize that Paul was a sinner transformed by grace, transformed by the love of Christ. Paul, who wrote this letter to the church in Rome, was one who had spent years trying to make his name great. Paul would be one who says, "I am a Pharisee of Pharisees." He would be one who could basically say, according to the Old Testament customs, he was as perfect as you could get. And yet, he was a sinner. Paul, as we know, or Saul, as he is sometimes called, which causes much debate in my household as to the reason, as to why there's two names, it's not that exciting. He just had two names. Paul, or Saul, was one who was so adamantly against Christ that he took it upon himself to arrest, round up, persecute, even kill those who were trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was someone you would never expect to turn to Christ in faith. And yet, like others have had too, not everyone, but some, he had an incredibly dramatic experience where he was on the road to Damascus, where he was going to cause mischief amongst the church. He met with the risen Christ. He was blinded. And yet, days later, we see him proclaiming to those around him about the love of Christ. Almost instantly, he went from a man who hated Christians, who hated the thought of Jesus, to one who recognized that he was a brother with Christ and was prepared to risk his life preaching for him. If you want evidence of the transformation that can be provided by the Holy Spirit, look at lives in this church, yes, but look at Paul and the dramatic transformation. He understood words like John 3:16 that say, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." The gospel summed up in one verse: trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will have eternal life. Paul's life was drastically changed by the gospel, by hearing and understanding the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is why in Romans chapter 5, but the passage before Jean read, we read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, Paul was able to write things like this: God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How great is God's love that while we were still rejecting him, Christ died for us as a payment, as a sacrifice for our rejection of God. Christ died for us. And Paul went on in Romans chapter 5 and verse 18 to say, through one trespass or one sin led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. And there's a lot to unpick in those verses, but what Paul is saying is through Adam and Eve, a story we know so well, sin came into the world. Everyone since has been born into a sinful world and a sinful nature. Yet one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave his life on a cross, suffered and bled and died so that all who believe in him may receive justification, may be justified in God's sight, counted as perfect, as if they had never sinned, counted as righteous, and therefore can be greeted with those words one day: well done, good and faithful servant. And that's the hope that we have. Verse 21 of chapter 5 says, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that is the transformative word of God. The Lord, we were sinners. We are sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ came and lived a perfect life, died on a cross to take our sin, to take the blame for our sin on his shoulders. And through faith in him, we have eternal life. But Paul goes on to demonstrate in chapter 6 that that's not all. The gospel is a news that changes. Grace, the free gift of salvation, is truly wonderful, but it should lead to something. If you want a title for today, it's simply changed by the gospel. And firstly, in chapter 6, we see a changed life as demonstration of our salvation, a changed life. Paul asks this question: what should we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? We understand that our righteousness, our perfection in God's sight, is a free gift of grace. Should we make that an even better gift by carrying on sinning? It's a bit like being let off a speeding ticket. Not that I have any experience of this. Being let off a speeding ticket and then driving away from the police officer at 100 miles an hour. No one would do it. It would be ridiculous. Throwing his forgiveness in our face if the police officer didn't charge us for the first offence. Surely no one would do such a thing upon receiving such forgiveness. So should we go on sinning so that the free gift of grace may be an even better gift? Paul says no. Verse 2, by no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? No. Once we have died to sin, once we have turned our backs on our old lives, as we've seen, We are new creations, and therefore we should not go on sinning. We should not seek to make the gift of grace even better by being even worse. How can we who died to sin still live in it? It's a bit like one who has smoked cigarettes for 40 years, causing drastic issues with their lungs, being given a brand new lung, or pair of lungs, probably. You probably need both. I don't know. Being given some new lung parts, and then carrying on smoking. One would assume that after such a transformation, you'd stop. You'd see the issue. And we see that with Christ. See, we are given, upon turning to Christ, a new heart. A perfection that we cannot understand. So we shouldn't seek to destroy that new perfection. Not that we can. Does this mean that we won't sin? No. I still trip. I still fall. Does it mean that sin should repulse us? Yes. Does it mean that we should try and do something about the sin we recognize in our lives, the rejections of Christ we recognize in our lives? Yes. See, we have a changed life because Christ died for us. It should make a difference. And actually, we see verse 3 and 4 that baptism is linked here, and that's what drew me to this passage. Let's read verse 3 and 4. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. The Lord Jesus Christ died on a cross. When we turn to him, as demonstrated through baptism, we are united to him in his death. Our old lives should be gone. They should be behind us. Yes, some of the things we do, some of the relationships we have may continue, but our nature, our sinful nature, dies and is left behind. We are united with Christ in his death. Christ died. When we turn to Christ, our old nature should die. Our old nature does. We are new creations. But Jesus didn't just die. So that's why when we're baptizing, we don't just stay underwater. That would be a very bad picture of salvation. We rise as Christ rose. Upon turning to Christ, we are new creations. And what does Paul say there at the end of verse 4? That we too might walk in newness of life. Turning to Christ results in a newness of life. And it should be evidenced. We should be able to see it. We have to be very careful. We can't earn our salvation. Doing good, being good doesn't make us more perfect in God's sight. We are only made perfect by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. But when we are trusting in him, we should see something. There should be a newness of life as our old life passes away. And I don't want to embarrass anyone, but it's been wonderful to hear of the transformation in both Anthony and Christina's life. And Anthony said something about work and how work used to be the biggest thing in his life, and now it's just, I don't want to put words in your mouth, just a thing you go to. And Christina, they told me one day, Anthony came home and Christina was throwing away all of the things that were linked to her old life, her old ways. And what an encouragement that is to hear, of newness of life. What a demonstration that is to hear. But we should all walk in newness of life. And as we walk in newness of life, as we walk in newness of life, we also have a new hope. Very briefly, Paul seems to change tense in verse 5, and I may be reading too much into it, but it brings out the point that I want anyway. Verse 5 says, "For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." Before it seemed to be past tense, but now Paul is using a bit of a future tense here. If we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that no one would be longer enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Verse 5 gives us a new hope. It gives us something to look forward to, something to be excited about. We have died to sin. We have put our old lives away when we turn to Christ. But we recognize that there is still sin that trips us up. We're no longer slaves to sin. We're no longer beholden to it, but there are temptations that trip us up. There are difficulties on this earth, and we will still have dark days. We will still weep and mourn. We will still fight occasionally against what God might be doing in our lives. He may be leading us somewhere, and we just don't want to. But we are guaranteed that we will be united with him in a resurrection like his. The Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He had a perfect body. Still scarred, we understand that, as we talked about the other night. But the Lord Jesus Christ rose again. And we will be united with him in the resurrection. And that's great hope ahead. As this world troubles us, as we recognize our sinful natures, as we strive to be more like Christ and we trip up, as we recognize the frailty of our human bodies. I was at a pastor's barbecue yesterday. This does go somewhere, I promise. And there's a young chap there who was 12 years old, and he had done the park run in the morning, and he had run the park run in 22 minutes and 36 seconds. Which is 5 kilometres, which isn't, it's not that bad. I ran 5 kilometres this week in quite a lot more than that, and I was sat there thinking, mainly because I haven't ran that much lately. But there's also that thought that came into my mind, he is less than half my age, get over it. I get weaker, my body decays, and I'm sure we all feel and experience such things. If we were relying on this body for our eternity, we'd probably be disappointed. But with Christ, we have a new hope. We will be united with him in the resurrection. We will pass away from this earth. This body is really of no use to us. It is a sin-stained body that we have. But we will be united with him in the resurrection. Perfect. Counted as righteous if we are trusting in him. Hallelujah. So what can we do now? We're going to miss a few verses and skip to the end. Paul seems to imply to us, focus on God. Look to God. Verse 12, you have a new hope. You have a changed life. Focus on God. Let not sin reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Focus on God. Don't let your lives be ruled by earthly pleasures and sin any longer. But the trouble is, if we take a big part of our life out, there's a hole that we will naturally fill it with something else. What do we have to fill that hole with? What do we have to focus on so that we stay away from the things of the past? Focus on God. Don't present your body as to sin, but present it to God as those who have been brought from death to life. When I was training to be a teacher, one of the teachers I was working with used to have a pot of green pens. The green pens were used in the class, and I can't remember what for. And at the end of the lesson, she used to stand by the door and collect them all back in. And she made a real fuss about making sure all the pens were pointing up. And I questioned her one day as to what the point was, excuse the pun. And She said there was. There was literally no point in the pens pointing up. It made no difference to the pens. But it gave the children something to focus on at the end of the lesson, so they went out in a slightly better behaviour because they were focusing on the pens being the right way up rather than tripping each other up and doing what children do at school. To take away the negative, they focused on something positive, if you can call putting pens the right way up something positive. I think you understand the illustration. With God, we're dead to sin. Our old lives are gone, but we need something to fill that space. And what is that space? God. Focus on Him. Present yourselves to God. Ask Him what you can do to serve Him. Get to know Him more. Study His Word. Fill your mind with knowledge of God. Fill your hearts with love of God. And what would the result of that be? Well, that will all overflow and overflow towards other people. You can share that knowledge with them. You can share that love with them. Sin has no dominion over you. You are not under law, but under grace. What great hope that is. The gospel is a life-changing gospel. It changes our lives. It gives us a new focus. But it is also an eternity-changing gospel. The good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He came while we were still sinners and died for us. That all who have faith in Him can be justified in God's sight, made perfect in His eyes, is an eternity-changing news. And I hope that we all understand that today.